This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves. With me, as always, Dennis Borges. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And how are you, Justice?
I'm doing fine myself.
Fantastic. Here we are, the Portuguese American Hour, for another edition of this program produced by Justice Neves and with me on the microphone, as well as Justice, and with two exciting guests for this hour. We're very, very excited. And the Portuguese American Hour is a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. And why would an institute at Fresno State or anywhere else, any academic institution, would want to do a Portuguese American Hour as a service to the Portuguese American community, so we can keep these traditions going, so we can keep this conversation. And so we are, of course, grateful to KGST AM 1600 and to Multicultural Radio for the Valley for offering us this opportunity. And we hope that all of you who are listening, do not forget to at the break listen to some of the commercial breaks that we have, and please visit our sponsors, because that's how we can keep the Portuguese American Hour every day, daily dose, as Justice says it, from Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. And we're going to our very first guest on the phone. We're very excited to have this guest with us for the first half hour of the Portuguese American Hour, for the first part of our show. And she is Dr. Monique Kelly Valence. She is the president of the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America, PFSA, which is one of our most prestigious the fraternal societies of the Portuguese-American community throughout the United States of America, and one of the better known in the fraternal society world, not just Portuguese, but also with other ethnic groups. Monique, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And how are you after all these travels? I just get tired by looking at what you're traveling on Facebook.
I've just started, actually.
I know. You've already been all over, it seems like. So tell us a little bit about who you are. Some of the folks probably don't know, so if you don't mind taking a few minutes of a brief bio. Who is Dr. Monique Kelly Valence?
Born and raised in the Central Valley in Modesto, or actually in Ceres. I started my career by deciding to be a professor of history. So I have a PhD in Portuguese history that I got from UC Santa Barbara. And I love history, but teaching wasn't really kind of where I wanted to go. So now I do accounting. I'm actually in business with my mother, Marie Kelly, and we work together in the family business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the cultural side, I just love the Portuguese community. So I'm involved not only with PFSA, but I'm also on the board of directors with the Modesto Portuguese Pentecost Association, the Portuguese Education Foundation. I dance in a folklore group. And, you know, just a few other things.
Yeah. Enough to keep you busier, I'm sure. And, of course, your mother, Mary Kelly's kind of a very well-known figure in the Valley, and kind of a kind of graphic figure and a wonderful lady. How did this transition into PFSA? Have you always been involved in fraternal societies?
Yes, I actually joined the Luso American Fraternal Federation when I was in high school. And then when I was in college, my mom became more involved in what was back then UPEC. And so I joined along and we became involved. We helped put on a couple of conventions. And then I started getting more involved because the UPEC in about 2008, mm-hmm. We we formed the 2030s Association with the PFSA. Mm-hmm. And I was the first vice president and then became the very last president because that was the year before the merger into PFSA.
Mm-hmm. And so your first, as you mentioned, you were born in Luso. You were involved in UPC, which is very historical, and all the different organizations. So you were basically, you were involved as an officer when the merger began?
Yes.
Okay. How was that?
It was interesting.
Yeah, you spoke a little bit of that at the 10th anniversary with lots of irony, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful and difficult all at the same time, much like a marriage. You know, when you get married, you think all of these wonderful things are going to happen, and then you marry, you actually start living together, and then he's leaving his socks on the floor and his cuecas are on the floor, and you're like, what the heck? You know, and that's kind of what happened with PFSA, where it's like we all had these aspirations, but you know, the problem was people were very afraid of losing their own traditions, their own customs within their own fraternal societies. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of fear, I think, and people were kind of very protective over what they had, and they were afraid of losing that. And then there was a lot of confusion that went on with the merger and things like that. So there was actually four adult presidents from the four former societies, as well as myself and the three youth presidents. We traveled the state that entire year. And just kind of were the, what they called us, the ambassadors, sort of trying to answer questions and smooth over some feathers and see if we could, you know, come together as a society and sort of move forward.
And of course, this happened. How do you feel now being the president during the 10th anniversary? That's kind of special, I believe.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's for me, it's really special because, you know, the beginning of PFSA means a lot to me. Not only was I there at the beginning, but I was actually pregnant with my daughter. She was born a couple weeks after the mass that we had at Five Wounds on January 10th. So she, you know, she's like my little PFSA baby. Of course, my son was also only a year old. So they've been in this since day one. And so I have a lot of special feelings because, you know, I look around and I see all these people that I've known for so long. And it's amazing. I'm really excited that we made it this far, but that we also have that we're moving forward.
Correct. And so merging these four societies into PFSA, of course, and collecting all of this into one major mega organization, do you feel that today people understand the merger well and people are on board?
I think so. I think, you know, I think people have finally, I don't want to say resigned, but have more understood and have accepted. I think we have more acceptance going on and people have formed friendships and relationships outside of what was their former society. We've kind of like bridged the gaps in a lot of ways. And, you know, I really like that we did it this way, even though it was a little rougher in the beginning, rather than having like an umbrella organization of PFSA and then we all kind of exist, you know, sort of individually. Mm-hmm. Now that we were forced to be together, I think it worked out much better in the end.
And so, now that you are president, tell us a little bit, what is it like to be president of a Portuguese Fraternal Society of America?
Very surreal. you know, sometimes when people call me Madam President, I look around, I don't know who they're referring to. It's different. I'm still sort of getting my, I'm sort of feeling my way around and figuring out what I'm supposed to be doing. I already had a good idea, but now that it's me, you know, I'm on the spotlight. It's kind of a little different, so it's exciting. I mean, I'm really loving what seeing everyone and you know, traveling. If you ask me in a year, I don't know. I might be tired, but
right. And so the trajectory to becoming president. So were you on the board before you became president? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, I was voted onto the line as the guard.
Okay, so there's a line that you go through.
Yes, so you start as guard and then you move your way up.
Okay. And so you have a few years to prepare for your convention, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and where was your convention at? And it was just, when did it happen, actually?
Well, in PFSA, we actually have our convention when we're coming out, so I haven't had my convention yet.
Ah, that's an interesting concept. That's wonderful.
So I was lucky that the previous convention was in Modesto, so I was able to have my family and friends attend my installation.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I had to preside over the convention because the Supreme President that came before me, Pedro Vieira, was extremely ill and unable to attend.
Right.
So it was kind of like I was president, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just a vice president. But yeah, so now my convention will be this November in L.A.
In Los Angeles. Wow, wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. And tell us a little bit for those folks who don't know what a fraternal society is. What is the role of PFSA? How do you see PFSA in the Portuguese American community?
Well, we kind of straddle both a business and a cultural and a community sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we started, all these societies started out as life insurance, you know, companies and sort of safety nets for people before there was such a thing as Social Security.
Right.
But then they also developed these fraternal bonds. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of this weird thing that we have where we have a business side, like Northwestern Mutual or MetLife,
right.
but then we also have this community and this culture and religion that ties us together as well. So it's sometimes a difficult balance because we want to do what's best for the society in a business sense so that we can continue moving forward and not have to worry about shutting our doors. But on the other hand, we also need to really develop our cultural side, and that's kind of where PFSA is moving because, you know, as far as like fraternal societies go, I don't think we're like before where there used to be a lot of competition between the societies. I mean, pretty much, by and large, you know, as far as California goes, LUSO and PFSA are the only ones left. And so really, you know, I'm also a LUSO member, and I really wanted to look to LUSO as more of like a brother or a sister or a partner as where we can sort of move together forward instead of competing against each other. And, you know, they've really got the education stuff locked down and the youth program. So we're sort of moving towards as far as like the volunteer side of it, the cultural aspect, to kind of fill in those gaps so that together we sort of make a really nice picture.
And for those folks, that's wonderful. And for those folks, and especially this camaraderie, for those folks, because sometimes it's not the best, that's not what we're really known for in the Portuguese American community.
Right.
So kudos to you. And a little bit about also one of the aspects that's so unique to me for PFSA as it was for UPC before, and of course some of the other societies, but especially for UPC, is that the library and your head office, which is now in Modesto. Before we get to that, though, there was a change. So just recently, the PFSA was in the Bay Area, I believe in San Leandro, if I'm not correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved to Modesto. Tell us a little bit about that move and in your perspective, how that came about and your thoughts on it as well, please.
Well, the move was, in a lot of ways, was started out of our own control because, you know, we owned a property in San Leandro. It was right next to a CVS, and the city was really interested in purchasing our buildings in order to, and then there was a developer that came in and wanted to purchase it for condos.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd already purchased the CVS, so our building was the only one left. And mm-hmm. so it kind of really came to the point where we knew we were going to have to move. So the board really looked around at several different locations. They looked all over the Bay Area. They looked in Dublin. They even looked in Tracy. But when it came down to it, the building they found here in downtown Modesto just made the most sense because, you know, A, it had renters already in there. So our rental income is, I mean, times 100,
mm-hmm.
what we were making in San Leandro. But also, the space that we occupy in there used to be a lawyer's office. And so this office was perfect for us because it already had the law library, so we mm-hmm. could put our library in there. It already had a space in there where a kitchen and things like that where we could hold events. So it just was like almost move-in ready. We really didn't have to do much to it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, to me, it makes sense to be in Modesto. I know some people are kind of perturbed that we've moved from the Bay Area because there's that historical, you know, thing about the Portuguese community in the Bay Area, but if we look at our statistics, over 50% of our members live in the Central Valley,
mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, it makes more logical sense to be in Modesto, where we're a little more central to our members.
Yeah, and especially because the community is changing as well. The Bay Area mm-hmm. community is not the same community that it was, of course, when you're very young. But when I was when I was younger, your mother and I can relate to this a little bit more. but when your mom and I were younger, the Bay Area community was the in community, and that is no longer the case.
Yep.
I mean, most of the
mm-hmm.
big cultural events for the Portuguese American community in California now happens in the Valley.
Yes,
yeah.
But I think that some people are still hold on to that in their minds, because when I was a teenager, I remember people would look down. I felt like some people kind of thought, "Oh, you're from Modesto, so we're kind of like the country cousins."
Mm-hmm.
But I think some people in their minds still feel that the Bay Area is like the center. They still hold on to that old image of the Bay Area, because I have had people tell me, you know, give me comments about, "Oh, now we've moved the books among the cows."
And that's okay. There's nothing
yeah.
wrong with that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We used to have.
We also know how to read here in Modesto.
I know. Yes. And throughout the valley as well. I used to have a friend of mine that when he would come from the Bay Area, teasingly way, but it always irked me that he would say, "Oh, I can always smell it when I get into the valley." I said, "Well, okay. We're not going to go there."
Right.
But indeed, as far as historically concerned, the Portuguese American community has changed immensely. And even people from there has been many people from the Bay Area that have lived and that have changed their residency and now live in the Valley,
mm-hmm.
especially as they retire. It's still affordable. So one of the things that I was going to mention was this very special thing to me for PFSA is the library. I think the Freitas Library is actually one of a kind. It is actually one of a kind mm-hmm. in the whole entire country. How to the board and to you as president and your mom being involved and very culturally involved, how do you feel about this library and the museum, this repository, let's put it that way, of Portuguese life in California?
Oh, I love it. The first time, the library, I mean, for me personally, having the library here closer is wonderful, because it's so much easier for me to access it, but of course that's selfish of me. It's very special. I mean, just looking at all these historical items that, when I walk through the museum and looking at, we also have a section that's dedicated just to our fraternal history as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why another reason why this building is so much better, because in our old building, we had our museum, but it was like down the hall and it was always locked up. Whereas now anyone can come to our office and the museum is open and the library is open, and it's much easier to access than having to ask someone to get you the key and go down the hall and open the door. So just that in itself is wonderful as well.
Yeah.
But the library does need some work.
Well, obviously, yeah, it always does. But the museum itself is such a rich history of the Portuguese, not just the Portuguese fraternal, obviously that, but some of those great pictures and everything.
Yes.
And it's an investment by PFSA, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's to have this space devoted to that, and to have all of these things archived. We're going to continue talking to you, Monique. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know that you're busy, and I know that you have, although you are in your own business, but you have a lot of things that you're involved with. We're going to take a very short break here in about 60 seconds or so, and then we're going to be right back with our second and last part of this very interesting conversation with Dr. Monique Kelly Valence, who is the president of the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America, PFSA. Modern society looking forward to the 21st century, doing lots of great works. And we're going to talk a little bit, Monique, if it's okay with you, when we come back, about the special work that you're doing with collecting actually gifts for foster children. I think that's so unique, and actually brought tears to my eyes when I was listening to your presentation at the 10th anniversary. So if you don't mind, we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Is that okay?
Of course.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be right back with the second segment and our last part of the conversation with the president of the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America. We are the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State, here every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, as a service to our Portuguese American community throughout the Valley.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And here we are back with the second segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. I'm Denise Borges, and along with me is always Justice Neves, who is the almighty producer of the Portuguese American Hour. And so, and on the line is another almighty person, the president. So how many times can you, do you have a chance to speak to a president, especially of a fraternal society, as very powerful as PFSA is, with lots of different investments? I was very, very impressed with all the numbers that were given, as everyone else was, not just myself, by your CEO, John Salvador, at the 10th anniversary event just a couple weeks ago. Monique, let's talk a little bit about your about the aspect, the charitable aspect of PFSA. You talked a little bit about that, and from my understanding, it is kind of a tradition that every president chooses a cause to help out with some funds and with some charity, and you chose a very unique cause. So talk to us a little bit about that charitable work that's kind of a tradition at PFSA and your particular cause.
Okay. So we actually started this tradition back when we were still UPC.
Okay.
One of our presidents, José Silva from Los Banos, decided that, because in the old days when you would go visit a council, they would present you with a plaque or a gift, or he says, I have so many plaques, I don't know what to do with anymore. So instead of giving me a plaque, would you please instead write a check, spend that money on my favorite charity. And that's so that after that, they started this tradition of the president's choosing a charity for that reason. And so now that we're into this, I chose a charity called Together We Rise, which is a charity that benefits foster children. It's amazing because they do collect money, and they do things with the money, like they arrange Disney days for foster children and their siblings and things like that. But one of the really things that just touched me the most was they're solving a problem that I didn't even know existed, and that is that foster children, when they go from home to home, they are not given a suitcase or anything to carry their belongings. So a lot of times they're going with a trash bag, a grocery bag. Sometimes they don't have a bag at all. And so what this charity does is that for, you know, an organization can purchase duffel bags, and the duffel, they send you this whole package, and it's a duffel bag, a teddy bear, a blanket, a coloring book, crayons, and a hygiene kit. And then you can either, you know, do them by yourself, or you can get a group together and, or, you know, do it at the office as a, you know, a work event. Mm-hmm. And then they put you in touch with your local foster program, and then the social worker will come and pick up all of the bags, and then the bags will be taken to the children. So that if they get the call that a child needs to be picked up, they can take the bag with them and give it to the child. So the child already has a teddy bear and has something to carry their clothes and their belongings.
Fantastic. And how has that been received by the various councils and your colleagues at PFSA?
Oh, it's been amazing. We've already built 100 bags.
Wow.
since I started. And it was just amazing. I put a post on my Facebook page just to kind of spread some awareness to people so they would know what my charity was about. And before I knew it, probably 36 hours later, my very generous friends had already donated $750 towards the charity. And we culminated that with a business board matched that $750. And just last weekend, we actually purchased 30 more bags. And at the PFSA home office, big group of us got together, and we assembled the bags. And then there's also a component where there's a panel on the side, and you can decorate mm-hmm. the panels. So the children were there, and actually some of the adults did some coloring too, and they drew, you know, flowers and all kinds of uplifting themes for the bags.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's a wonderful organization, Together We Rise. So those of you listening to the Portuguese American Hour, you can get a hold of PFSA if you'd like to contribute to this as well. So As we end our conversation, and I again want to thank you. It's I know I've thanked you a couple times, but I'll continue thanking you again because I know it's busy and you have taken this half hour to spend with us. I appreciate it. Looking forward to this year, what are some of the exciting things that you think will happen other than all the traveling that you'll get to do, and of course all the nice people that you'll meet at the different councils? It's always important.
Right. Well, our next exciting event that's coming up is the Portuguese Festival. That's also done by the Carlos Vieira Foundation, but we're one of the major sponsors. That's going to be on April 18th, and mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that. They're having a lot of wonderful acts come, a lot of different things going on this year. And then, of course, probably for me, the most exciting thing is going to be my convention, not just because my year will be over, but we have a lot of exciting things planned. We're going to have the Portuguese kids. We're going to Disneyland, actually, and the Portuguese kids are going to come with us, and they're going to ride the rides with us and kind of just hang out with us. They're bringing their families. And then they're going to perform for us the next night. And we've got just a lot of really fun things planned for the convention. So.
Okay, so and meanwhile, between now and then, you have lots of different visits. How many places will you visit? Do you have any idea?
Right now, I think I'm about 35 scheduled. Okay. But not everyone has schedules, so probably about 40, 45 by the time we're all done.
So it's basically all your weekends, Saturday and Sunday, correct?
Well, you know, what's funny is they try to leave Festa season alone. So the summer, I'm good. I have vacation. I only have one or two in the summer, but most of mine are jam-packed in the spring. So.
Okay. Well, enjoy the ride. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for, at such a young age, wanting to be president of the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America. Thank you for your contributions. A big extended thank you, please, to your lovely mother as well and your whole family. And best of luck. And we're here. If you ever need to come back, we'd love to have you back in another couple months and talk to you a little bit more about this trajectory.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Monique, and best of luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And so that was Monique Kelly Valens, who is the president of the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America. We're going to take a very quick musical break, and we will be right back in about 2 minutes or so. But do enjoy the music with our second guest for this jam-packed Portuguese American Hour with two very special guests, Monique Kelly Valens, president of PFSA, and in a little bit, another surprise guest. But meanwhile, let's go to the Azores and listen to some wonderful music from the islands of the Azores.
Casinhas, já não tem sardinhas, mas está mais linda. De braços abertos ao mar, garças a dançar, fazem-a ficar mais bonita ainda. Isso vai-me convidar-te a voltar à ilha, porque ao abraçar-te o nosso olhar brilha. E a mesa lá na ilha está posta, abraçar os amigos que temos é o que a gente mais gosta. E a mesa lá na ilha está posta, e abraçar os amigos que temos é o que a gente mais gosta. A praia
dia da vitória. Tem o porto certo no seu peito aberto para vos receber. Na festa, na festa mais linda.
And our musical break, a song about Praia de Vitória, one of the two cities in the island of Terceira, a very special place to my heart and to my next guest as well. The song was being sung by Francisco Simões. Those who have heard Azorian folklore have heard his voice in various groups. The song was written by a good friend of mine, Paulo Cordonis, from the village of Bicho Coitos, also in Terceira, and it has this wonderful line: a mesa lá na ilha está posta e abraçar os amigos que temos é o que a gente mais gosta. Kind of translated for those of you, all of you who don't understand Portuguese, it means that the table in the island is always set. And such the importance of food in our culture. The table, food and family and friends. The table in the island is always set and giving a big embrace, embracing or hugging our friends is what we like the best. And talking about friends, it is my pleasure to introduce our next guest, who is a friend of mine, who is a friend of the Portuguese-American community throughout the entire state of California. His name is Zeto Carvalho. Zeto is director for the SATA for the state of California. For those of you who do not know, SATA, S-A-T-A, Azores Airlines, is the airline of the archipelago of the Azores with flights within the islands. It was also Azores Airlines with flights to the United States, to Canada, to other parts of Europe as well, and a charter flight that is operated out of California for the summer months also is handled by SATA. Zeto, welcome to the program. Welcome to the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you, my friend, for taking time.
Hello, Professor Diniz. Thank you for the invitation. And hello, everybody that is listening to us.
It is our pleasure. Thank you for talking to us. Let's talk a little bit about SATA. Okay, so sometimes SATA has a negative feeling. I should say, by the way, as we start, I am a fan of SATA. I am, to much of dismay of many of my friends, but I am, and I always have realized the importance that this airline has for a region that wants to grow in tourism and for a region that wants to have its connection with its overseas communities, whether they be in California, the East Coast, or Canada. So, Zeto, SATA, as I mentioned, is the Azorian Airlines, and in your specific case here in California, you are here to serve, of course, the community through SATA and this special operation that we have a few months out of the year directly from California, but also those who want to travel to the Azores at other times, connecting through the East Coast through Boston. Let's talk a little bit about the SATA in California. What does SATA do, and for how long is this season?
It's exactly what you mentioned. So we are here to serve the Portuguese community in California and every other communities that want to travel to the Azores. We also try to help the best we can. So the presence of SATA in California, we are here all year long. We have an office based in San Jose. And our operation flying from California out of Oakland Airport direct, nonstop, to Terceira Island happens in between the months of June through September. It's a weekly flight, and this year we have 14 connections to the Azores.
And when does it start? What is the first flight for this year of 2020? What's the date?
Okay, so it starts on June 8th, will be the first. So the flights go out of California to the Azores on a Monday and returns on a Sunday. So first flight out will be the June 8th, and the last flight coming in will be September the 20th.
Okay. And every week, basically, it's a I'm sure, a large enough jet to make that trip. How many people, more or less, does it take in what every week from here, direct from Oakland to Terceira?
So it's every week, and we are using an Airbus 340, a very convenient airplane for this kind of trip. Going there, it's an 8-hour-and-a-half flight. It's not that far, mm-hmm. as it seems. Mm-hmm. And coming back, it's around a 10-hour flight. The airplane is equipped with 12 seats that we consider like a first class. Mm-hmm. It's seats that makes a flat bed. Mm-hmm. 38 seats that is a business class. And then 217 seats on coach. Mm-hmm.
And if folks are thinking about booking to the Azores, should they do soon? I'm sure it gets booked pretty soon.
Yeah. This is actually our busiest time of the year. It starts January. pardon me. So it starts January, the busy season. As soon as they can book, the better. Mm-hmm. We always have a seat, but this is where you get the good deals. Mm-hmm. And everybody is booking right now. We can connect to all the islands of the Azores. If people want to visit mainland, we can help that as well. We have connections to mainland and, of course, to the other archipelago, that is Madeira Island. We can manage that as well.
And folks can book directly through SATA, but they also can connect to a travel agent, correct?
Exactly. We do have the travel agents do partner with us, so they can contact us or their travel agent. Mm-hmm. And if the travel agent has any doubt, they can call us and we will help them out.
Okay. And we are going to continue talking to Zeto Carvalho, who is director for SATA for the state of California. And we just gave some information out regarding the flights that are direct flights. But as Zeto said, SATA is here to work with the community and travel to the Azores, any community that wants to travel to the Azores every month and of the entire year. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the last 20 minutes of the Portuguese American Hour and continuing to speak with our guest, Zeto Carvalho, talking to us from Northern California, from the SATA office in San Jose. We'll be right back with the last segment, of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And we are back with the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State, California State University, Fresno. It is a pleasure to be with all of you and continuing our conversation with our guest, Zeto Carvalho, who is director for SATA for the state of California. And Zeto, you had mentioned many folks listening to the Portuguese American Hour, of course, are of Portuguese background, but we have people who aren't also of Portuguese background who are interested in our culture, our music, etc., and who obviously would be interested in visiting the Azores, this paradise in the middle of the Atlantic North. The direct flights that begin June 8th and go all the way until September 20th during the summer months to Terceira Island, direct from the Oakland. Folks, people can, of course, make connections then from Terceira to all the other islands, correct?
Exactly. They can go to any other island of the Azores. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, they can go also to mainland, mm-hmm. Lisbon or Porto, and to Madeira Island.
Okay, you mentioned also that Sata is here, not just through, of course, these months, but also throughout the entire year. So, if one wants to travel to the Azores in September and October, the weather is still very, very good in the end of September and October, and even November. What we call o Verão de São Martinho is great in the Azores, if it actually is like that. And if people don't mind a little bit of rain once in a while, it's always a unique opportunity to visit it January and February and March, etc. So if I or any one of our listeners want to go to the Azores in these considered off-season months that we do not have the direct flight from Oakland, what's the best way and how can Sata do this?
It works exactly as you said. The off-season months that starts by the end of September and goes all the way to March, we do have flights all winter, leaving out of Boston, Massachusetts, to the Azores. So to anybody that lives on any other state in the U.S., mm-hmm. including California, of course, we do have agreement with two American airlines that one of them is JetBlue and the other one is Alaska Airlines. So we do have agreement with those two airlines that can take you from any state all the way to Boston, and then in Boston connects with us to the Azores Islands. We do fly to the two main islands, that is Terceira and São Miguel. And, of course, again, we can connect to all the other islands from those two. The shoulder months, as we call it, September, October, and April and May are very good to visit the Azores as well.
Okay, yeah, indeed. And if with this agreement that you have with these American carriers, in other words, can I travel from Los Angeles to Boston and Boston, Terceira, or Boston, San Miguel? When I get to Boston, do I have to go get my bag and then transfer to Sata? Or since there's an agreement, will the bag go directly and vice versa?
Actually, due to the agreement, mm-hmm. When you check your luggage, you only collect the luggage in the Azores.
Okay.
To do customs there. So the first touch on the Azores, you will have to collect your bags to do customs and then keep your traveling. If you stay on that island, you're good. If not, you will just need to redo the check-in to the other island.
Mm-hmm.
On the way back, it will happen the same thing. So from any island that you are checking in, the first time you touch your bags will be again in Boston to do the customs and then recheck them to your final destination. It's a very simple process. Depends on the time that we arrive and if it has too many people from other airlines and all that, but very simple, very fast process.
Right. And going back to the direct flights, Oakland, Terceira, from June 8th through September 20th, they're, of course, once a week, like you said. Do these get booked right away faster than the ones that there's a stopover?
Yes, because we are doing the what we call the high season in the Azores.
Mm-hmm.
They book very fast, especially the ones in June. July, it's a little slower to book them, but they sell out as well. And the September ones will be the ones that it's like the off season already to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So they never book that fast.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to mention as well that since September is the off season, we do have a special going on with a very generous price mm-hmm. for the last three flights of the season going there.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to take the direct flight mm-hmm. out of Oakland to the Azores, we got a one-way trip costing around $500
wow.
with taxes included to any island of the Azores.
Wow, that's a heck of a deal for those of you who know prices to get to the Azores, and that's fantastic. So if people don't mind going, and September is a wonderful time to go there. Wonderful. Let me ask you another question. So whether it be in September, because you're ending, of course, the season to California as far as the charter season, or whether it be in any other time, can one do a direct flight? For example, if I want to go to Terceira, or any island of the Azores, San Jorge, or Faial, or Pico. If I want to go to the Azores, that's probably a better way to put it. In a direct flight from Oakland to Terceira, and then connecting to another island. And then I want to come back, but I don't want to come back on the Sunday or the Monday that you have the flight. Can I do a flight directly, and then on the way back, come back through Boston? Is that a possibility as well?
It is possible, yes. You can always do the direct going there and coming back through Boston, then connecting to LAX or San Francisco if you live in California. And you can do the other way around. You can go through Boston going there and coming back direct.
Okay. So, in other words, someone wanting to go earlier than June 8th could do a flight via Boston and then take, for example, the whatever first or second flight in June back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Just to take that note, the three first flights coming from the Azores here, we do have the same special on those ones. So anybody that goes in May or April there and wants to return on the beginning of June, the first three flights, that is the 7th of June, the 14th, and the 20th, we do have the special going on as well for the $500.
Right. And, of course, going out of Oakland, why Oakland? What do you think was the main reason why SATA picked Oakland? I know it was before you even arrived here, but you've been here now, I believe, 4 years, and doing, I might add, an excellent job. You're liked by everybody, even the ones who criticize SATA like SETU, and that's good. But why Oakland and not San Francisco or anywhere else? Why do you think that?
The Oakland Airport, I do believe, this year makes 25 years. I think I'm not doing a mistake. So 25 years that we are flying there. Not as always as SATA,
right,
because before it was charter flights, but we've been using that airport. So the reason of Oakland Airport at the beginning was because it was a very much easier airport for people to go around, especially the Portuguese ones. That older people that came here, unfortunately, they never learned the language, so it was very easy because it's you do the check-in, and a couple of seats after, you are at the gate with no going up or down or changing levels. It's always on the same level, and it's a straight corridor from the check-in to the gate. It is east-centered, so for the Center Valley, people that comes from Hillmar, Turlock, around that area, even Sacramento, it's easier to drive into Oakland than San Francisco, for example.
That's right. It's a very, as you said, it's a very user-friendly airport. It's really an easy airport to navigate yourself around. There's always been rumors, Zetu, that SATA might not do this this charter flight, which I feel is if that ever happens, that's too bad because it is a very good service for the community and for those, especially the elderly people who don't like to make connections and stops. And I think that some people would not even go to the Azores, those in their 70s and 80s, if it wasn't for this flight. But right now what you hear is that it's going to continue, hopefully, for not just this year, but years in the future.
I do hope that still that keeps going and happening. For now, the project is to still keep having this flight this year. Actually, last year we only had 13 connections. This year we add another one. So I do believe it means that SATA believes in this route, and they added an extra flight. So let's see how it works this year. Maybe next year, it's, instead of 14, it will be 15 if it works. So to give a better the project would be to do the flight for during 4 months at mm-hmm. least. We're doing now for three, mm-hmm. so that would be very nice, including the end of May until October, more or less. But yeah, if we do finish this flight, I'm afraid that a lot of people will stop going to the Azores, especially the elderly ones that don't like the connection, and they that stop in Boston for them is not the best due to health issues and all that. So let's pray that we keep this flight going to serve the community and hopefully all the rest of California.
Indeed, indeed. I thank you again, Zetu, for spending some time with us. We're about out of time. I want to thank you for taking the time. Best of luck to you. Thank you for all you do for SATA and for the community, for being involved and always trying to help folks out. I know that sometimes people are in a pinch, and you always offer, and you've helped them tremendously, including myself, and I thank you for that. And best of luck, and hopefully everyone will be traveling to the Azores. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world, is it not?
It is true, one of the most beautiful places in the world, and thank you for this opportunity, and I hope to see you all in the Azores.
Yes, and hope to see you all in the Azores, and hope to see you at one of our Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute events. You've come down to a couple of them, and I appreciate that you come down and support what we're doing here at Fresno State. Thank you for all you did, and I want the community to know about that. Thank you for all your efforts and all you did in helping out, bringing the five students who will be here pretty soon to do a one-month exchange program from Terceira at the Jordan College at our university, and for also helping us out last year when we had four students go to the Azores, and I'm sure we'll have another four going sometime in June or July. Thank you so much, Zetu. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that was Zetu Carvalho, who is the director for the airline SATA, SATA Aerosoros. We didn't talk about some of the criticisms that people like to talk about SATA. SATA's had some issues with some planes, with time. They're a very small company. They only have a few planes. But I tell you what, they try the best they can. Indeed, as he mentioned, and as I mentioned as well, it would be very, very tough without this this service, because some of the elderly population will not visit the Azores if they have to go to two or three airports. If mm-hmm. their family can take them to Oakland and they get on a plane, their family helps them check in and everything else, and then they get on a plane in Oakland, and then when they get out interstate in the Azores, they have family there waiting for them that can, you know, receive them and help them out, then they'll go. If they don't, then it's too bad, because it's a wonderful service that, especially for the elderly in our community. The young ones, they can figure out a way to get there. So that was Zetu Carvalho. So as you know, as you've seen there, Justice, we've had a full-packed program.
Oh, yeah.
With Dr. Monique Kelly Valens from PFSA, Portuguese Fraternal Society of America, the first half hour, and the second half hour with Zetu Carvalho, director for SATA Air Azores, the airline company of the Azores, and that is actually owned by the government of the Azores with some private funding as well, but it exists to serve connections between essentially North America, North America and the Azores, but also, as he mentioned, has connections to mainland Portugal and to other parts of Europe and to the Madeira Islands. We're about ready to end this edition of the Portuguese American Hour, thanking everyone for being a part of this daily dose, and reminding some of you, or all of you, actually, I should say, of some of the upcoming events. Remember that on February the 8th, a Saturday, at the TDS Hall in Tulare, we will have a Portuguese soup dinner sponsored by the Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation. Four different soups, breads, and all you can eat, and then a desserts buffet as well. Everyone is invited to attend. It's $20 per person, and the funds go directly to the California State University Fresno, the Jordan College, and their exchange program that's put together with the University of the Azores with the Terceira campus. We have 5 students from the Azores visiting, and actually not just visiting, working, doing an internship here at our university. They'll be coming this week at the end of the week, and they'll be here throughout the whole month of February. They'll be our guests a couple times here in the Portuguese American Hour, so you can learn a little bit more about that exchange program, as well as we hope to have 3 or 4 students visit, do the same thing, do this internship with a visit to the Azores in the summer of 2020. Also, we have our first lecture on the 12th, talk about agriculture. It's about agriculture in the Azores. José Elio Ventura, who is the Director of Agriculture for the Government of the Azores. It'll be at the Jordan College Ag One Conference Room at 6 o'clock on the 12th, a Wednesday evening. And the following Wednesday, the 19th, our anniversary lecture with a reception free of charge to everyone with some goodies, some food, and some beverages from 5 to 6, and then our lecture at 6 o'clock. We'll be talking about that in future editions of the Portuguese American Hour. Remember also that there's lots of other events. There's lots of different crab, chipino, and crab Portuguese-style events going on throughout the next couple of months at different Portuguese halls. It's a good way for them to fundraise, to promote some of the cultural events that they do throughout the year. Thank you all for being part of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you to our almighty producer, Justice, and thank you to every single listener who not only listens to us, but also promotes us on social media. When you see our social media posts, please share them with your family and friends. We want to build a true, unique building audience, a great audience of those who are of Portuguese background or interested in the Portuguese culture and the Portuguese presence in the Valley. Thank you again. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.